What's good, everybody? Welcome back, NHL Fantasy on Ice, talking 2021 Stanley Cup playoff pools. Pete Jensen here with you and Rob Reese, Davey Satriano around the horn. What's up, guys? Long time no speak.
What's up, Davey? Welcome back.
Oh my God, it's been such a, we've only been 4 months into the season and it feels like a year already. But here we go, playoffs.
And obviously it's a difficult thing this year, right? Navigating the playoff previews and of course the end of the regular season. We appreciate all the shout outs everybody's given us for the advice all year. It's been our pleasure. We appreciate you listening to the show all year, three times a week usually. I wanted to give a shout out though to Davey Satriano, who's here with us fresh off his 4-for-4 playoff championship accomplishment. I've never heard of anything like that. I've heard of 3-for-4, 2-for-3, 4-for-4, major props, buddy.
Now, to me, the most amazing thing was I didn't have Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon on any of those teams. I checked. The first pick I took Vasilevsky with one, Panarin with one, Eichel with another, and somehow one. I made some moves. I listened to you guys. We got some advice there. But yeah, it was some of these teams had no business winning. And let's just say Manny Legacy, thanks for that shutout with the Sabres. I mean, last day of the season. Got me a couple rings.
Manny Legacy, Craig Anderson winning fantasy championships this year. You'll love to see it. So hats off to you, Davey. Congrats. For fantasy playoff ranks, so you can find these on nhl.com/fantasy. Pete and I put them out yesterday. And let's start at the top of the list, gentlemen. We've got Nathan MacKinnon, number one overall. I believe that's a consensus, unless there's any objections here.
I mean, I was looking at this list. You can't go wrong with MacKinnon, 25 points in 15 games last year. But if it were me, I'm sorry. I have to go with the 100-point guy, Connor McDavid. I looked at the numbers against Toronto and against Winnipeg. Winnipeg, we know he just crushes them this season. You know, Toronto, Montreal, other teams in the division playoffs, he hasn't done as well. But, I mean, you're getting at least one round out of this guy. That's at least 10, 12 points, right? I mean, and they can win the round. If they only get two rounds and lose, the guy can get 20 points in 12, 13 games. So if it's me, I do love MacKinnon. The Avalanche could go farther, although they have a tough division too. But I'm going with Connor McDavid if it's me.
Right. That's the first and foremost thing of why we have MacKinnon ahead of McDavid. I mean, this seems like deja vu again, because we had that at the beginning of the season. Obviously, McDavid proved us wrong by dropping 102 in 54 games to date, which is absolutely incredible in terms of fantasy accomplishments across all sports that I've ever seen. That's right up there with anything. But in addition to that, you look at the all-time NHL points per game leaders in NHL history, Gretzky, Lemieux, Barry Peterson, Nathan MacKinnon, number four at 1.35. So in terms of historically production wise, Nathan MacKinnon actually stacks up with some of the best players in NHL history in the postseason. And this is only with the Avs scratching the surface, right? The past 2 years, getting to game seven of the second round, each of those postseasons. So like, if this is going to be the breakthrough, if they're going to get to the third or fourth round, potentially win it all, like a lot of us thought they might at the beginning of the season, now is the time to prioritize MacKinnon over McDavid. That's how I'm viewing it.
I'm with you, Petey. And I just think that Colorado's very safe this year. I mean, if they draw Minnesota in the first round, I might pick Minnesota just to be against the grain. There's always an upset. I think that's a very slim chance, though, in all likelihood. I think Colorado's going to go to the final in that bracket. So I think it's a safe pick, Pete. And then for Edmonton, Davey, I don't mind that pick either. I think you can flip a coin, really. McDavid, obviously you mentioned, if you get 14 games out of him, that's 20 plus points guaranteed from the player. That's all you can really expect in a fantasy pool. I think when you drop down below the MacKinnon McDavid level, that's when you have to have a real conversation about, am I taking Auston Matthews here with a Toronto Maple Leafs history in the playoffs? And even Matthews hasn't been, you know, the sensation in the playoffs that he has been in the regular season. So I think that's when the conversation starts. If you're sitting in a 3 or 4 hole, am I looking at Draisaitl? Am I going to trust the Leafs this year? Or maybe I'm going to play it uber safe and take a Rantanen or even the Vegas Golden Knights goaltenders.
I mean, I think I agree with you, you know, the way Colorado, their schedule shakes out. But the fact that they have to play Minnesota, probably Minnesota and then or Minnesota and then, you know, Vegas, that's two tough matchups. I'm just looking at the Oilers where they get Winnipeg and then Montreal or perhaps Toronto. So that's why I like McDavid better. But you're right about number three. It's very tough because Toronto's the consensus, you know, winner out of that four teams. So do I take Austin Matthews at number four? I don't know. I'm still not really sold on the Leafs. I know this is their year, but you know, they haven't won a playoff series in who knows how long. So to me, if I had to choose, well, first of all, if I got McDavid with that, the first, you know, if McDavid is gone, which he will be in McKinnon, Drysdale's not bad, but the same issue would hold with McDavid. You know, if you think they're going to win a round or get 14 games, to me, that's worth it. Matthews, we know he can score goals, but I'm still kind of concerned about the injury that he's been playing with. So I'm not really sure if I would take Matthews if I had the number three pick.
Couple of guys have been dealing with injuries near the top of this list. Of course, it was good news to see Alex Ovechkin back last night. Again, we're recording this on a Wednesday. The playoffs start on Saturday. We expect Ovechkin to be a go. A couple other guys have some injury concerns, like Victor Hedman has missed a couple of games late. Of course, the big one is Nikita Kucherov. We'll see if and how healthy he is. And if he's healthy and if he, I mean, right, guys, we've heard rumblings that maybe, you know, they've been taking it easy with him. He was on long-term IR. You know, maybe he is 100%. He hasn't played all year. I think if Kucherov is deemed fully healthy between now and your fantasy pool draft, he could be taken as high as five overall, right behind those top four guys we just mentioned.
Pete, I think that for me, it comes down to, I just need to know if he's going to be in the lineup game one. Game one, I could wait to game two. Maybe yeah. Game three with a player like Kucherov, but I think because they're playing the Florida Panthers and they're a formidable foe this year, I can't go beyond that with Kucherov. So I just need that report. Hopefully it comes out today, tomorrow, whenever it is, soon before my fantasy pool draft. But that being said, I think Kucherov, Pete, is a player that you do select in the top 10. You have to. The name value's there. The team value's there. This is a team, by the way, that finished seventh in goals scored without Kucherov for the entire season. Just imagine what they'll do in the postseason with him in the lineup. Then you consider their opponent, the Florida Panthers, will be without their number one defenseman, Aaron Ekblad. I still like the Panthers. I think it'll be a close series. It'll be great for hockey fans to view the state, you know, kind of rivalry, if you will. But if I'm in a playoff pool, I got to know that I'm at least getting some games out of this guy in the first round. You don't want to get off to a bad start in a fantasy playoff pool, and you certainly don't want to have a guy that's on the shelf for the first couple of games.
Well, I agree with you there on Kucherov because I wouldn't take him unless I knew right away, you know, he was going to play game one. He was fully healthy because you don't want a Stamkos situation where, you know, he played one game and then he's out for the rest of the playoffs. But sticking with Tampa Bay, I'm just wondering you guys what your thoughts are on which, you know, which obviously Vasilevsky is the best goalie hands down in the NHL. How high up are you taking goalies? And if you, I know some pools do tandem goalies, some do just one goalie, but if we're working on tandems, are you going with Lightning first because Vasilevsky's probably playing every minute or maybe Vegas? What are you guys doing?
I think if it's tandems, I'm going with Vegas, whether it's Leonard, Fleury, or any combination. I think if you're in a pool that counts the tandems, it's a rare chance to just give yourself an easy decision. I mean, obviously with Vasilevsky and Philip Grubauer, it's Vasilevsky or bust, it's Grubauer or bust. If you get those other guys playing a game in the postseason, then you have a problem. We've been talking about this for a while. You have more of a problem if you're Tampa Bay, but still a big problem if you're Colorado and you're playing Devan Dubnyk or you're playing Jonas Johansson. So yeah, I'm still very high on those three guys, but I would rank them if it's tandem rankings, I would do Vegas first, I would do Tampa Bay second, and then, you know, obviously Colorado after that. And then rounding out the top five would probably be teams like Carolina and the Islanders, which I think have the goalie depth to make a deep run, even if they have to turn to the other guy.
I have the same order, Davey. And I think if it wasn't tandems, if I had to do it individual goalie wise, maybe I would take Vasi, you know, first, just because if Fleury has a bad game, you know, they're going to go to Lehner. If Lehner has a bad game, you know, they're going to go to Fleury. Now that's a good problem to have in a 7-game series. And that's why I'm so confident about the Vegas Golden Knights going deep in the playoffs. But for a fantasy playoff pool, if you had to select one guy, for me, I can't turn away from Vasi after the regular season he had. I think whether Kucherov's 100%, whether Stamkos is 100%, you know you're going to get wins out of Vasilevsky. You know you're going to get his best effort every night. And I think that's what's great about Tampa is you don't really have concerns about that area of the ice. Whereas maybe a team like Washington, you know, if Vitek Vanacek is not good in game one or game two, they don't have a Braden Holtby anymore to fall back on. So that's where I would look at that, Davey. Same thing with Pittsburgh. They can enter that chat as well with Tristan Jarry. If he falters, I don't have that same level of trust in the guy behind him. And then for Colorado, Grubauer has been fantastic. I think he deserves to be in that Vasilevsky conversation. I'm going to put my trust in him. There's no reason why I see him faltering. That being said, if they play Minnesota, I do think it's going to be a tight series, a lot tighter than some people expect.
And there are going to be a couple of goalies in this postseason, a couple of players in general that are in contract years where I think you can key in on these guys. They're top level performers. Grubauer is one of them. Tuukka Rask is another one. I picked the Bruins at the beginning of the season to make the Final Four, and I'm feeling like I'm going to stick with that just because Rask is healthy and because they got a really strong second line, stronger than I thought they would have at this time at the beginning of the season. So I still do have confidence, the most confidence of those four teams in the East Division in the Boston Bruins. So, and then also Dougie Hamilton, if you're looking for a defenseman, sometimes you would prefer in the second round to take a defenseman, right? Like Cale Makar, who was better than a point per game in the regular season. Dougie Hamilton in a contract year for the Carolina Hurricanes. If you've been high on the Hurricanes in recent years when they've gone deep in the playoffs, get back in on the action here because there will be no better time for the Hurricanes to make a Stanley Cup run than right now. Then they're going to have to pay different guys after this year. They're going to have to re-sign Mrazek. They're going to have to re-sign Dougie Hamilton, right? Nietzsche is going to be knocking at the door for a bigger contract in the future. So there's a lot riding on that. They got Turbo back healthy. So look at the Hurricanes and don't hesitate to take one of their guys in the second round of your pool draft, whether it's Aho, Svechnikov, the goalie tandem, or even Dougie Hamilton in the contract here.
Yeah, I think you're right about this. To me, the Carolina-Nashville matchup is probably the one where I would be the most shocked if an upset happens. So I would take some Carolina players early. You know, in the second round, they're either going to play Florida, Tampa Bay. Probably going to be pretty high scoring, even though both teams have, you know, good goalies. But we've seen this Florida, Tampa Bay have played each other the last, what, couple games. And besides all the fights and stuff, there's been a lot of goals. So I think you're right with Carolina. You can probably get some of those guys, you know, on their second line even pretty late. And if they're going to get out the Predators and then possibly, you know, get to the Final Four, which they have a very good chance. I agree with you there. The Carolina is probably one of the better teams to get some guys in the draft late.
How do you guys feel about drafting Huberdeau or Barkov around the top 20 overall? Obviously, Florida, we all believe in that team, but, you know, going against Tampa in round one is going to be an uphill battle.
Well, with Florida, I feel like every year in the playoffs, there's one team that is underestimated by many. And then after they finally break through and win a round, you look at them completely differently. And Florida has, you know, earned my trust over the course of the season. Of course, as much as we love Tampa Bay and what they offer in the playoffs, even Hedman, I was mentioning those other defensemen. Hedman is the top ranked defenseman. So, you know, in fantasy pools. So he's worth taking among the top 15 overall players, just speaking of how deep the elite group of talent is in Tampa Bay, with or without Stamkos, with or without Kucherov. I'm still taking Hedman top 15 in a fantasy pool draft. But yeah, like the Florida Panthers to me, in terms of earning trust, like those two players have been superstars for 3 or 4 years now, Barkov and Huberdeau. If the Panthers are going to pull the upset, those guys will move up to like probably top 5 or 10 assets in a keeper league that counts the entire postseason tournament. So, and there's also opportunities to get in on the Panthers in late rounds. Like the deeper you go, like don't forget about Sam Bennett, how hot he's been. If Patrick Hornquist is back, that's a great guy for multi-categories if you play a format like that. And even their goalie tandem, like I was really happy to see Chris Drieger come back the other day from his injury and get a shutout against the Lightning. I know it's just a late regular season game, but Florida's got, they're cooking up something special here. And I want to get in on it as early as the second round, you know, with Huberdeau and Barkov.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Sam Bennett, because he's a guy I was going to mention. As you talk about sleepers, I'm sure he's going to be around pretty late, and he's one of the great. I think I was actually just looking at your guys' list, and I had to scroll very far before I actually found him. I think you had him at 92, and I said, yeah, there's a lot of guys ahead of him, but you know, I know he was day to day. I think they had originally sat him out when they, you know, sat out other players, but he missed a game. If this guy's back, what does he have? 15 points in 10 games. You mentioned if you're in a pool, the guy gets penalty minutes. He's plus minus. Like, he's done everything since the trade. So to me, Sam Bennett's a guy that's going to be there and, you know, pretty late. And if you can't get one of those other Florida Panthers guys, or maybe you do and you just want to say, hey, you know, this is their year. They're going to win a round, at least a round. I want to stack him. Bennett to me would be like one of the major, major sleepers here.
And that's kind of my draft strategy, is to, you know, when I'm in the first few rounds, I want the teams with the good history in the playoffs. We're looking at Tampa, Colorado, Vegas, right? And then below that, once you get outside the top 50 players or so, that's when I want to get a Sam Bennett to get the exposure to a potential game breaker in Huberdeau, you know, later in the playoffs, right? If they make it past round one. The same thing can be said about a guy like William Nylander. If the Leafs get through round one, you know, get the monkey off their back there, then you still have exposure to those top players. But you don't have to put the draft capital in of saying, hey, I'm going to go all in on this one team, and then they get bounced in round one and your team's not looking so hot anymore. So I like to be a little bit more conservative in these postseason drafts. I mean, when you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, I like the team a lot, but they kind of remind me of the Washington Capitals of the late 2000s and the early 2010s, where it's like the talent's all there, the coach is there, you know, the defense is starting to get there, the goaltending is fine, but they just, for whatever reason, can't get past, you know, the first round opponent. Or if they do get past the first round opponent, they're out in round two and you're kind of left scratching your head like, this doesn't make any sense when you look at the team on paper.
I think there's a lot to be said in this particular postseason, like which division is the easiest path. I think we would all probably say it's the Canadian, the North Division, right? So that would lend a helping hand toward you selecting McDavid over MacKinnon if you feel that way. If you're worried about Colorado maybe getting bounced if they play St. Louis or Minnesota. But yeah, like back to the North Division, like I think that's a good strategy for playoff pools, like clearest path type thing. But you're getting a little carried away if you're drafting, you know, if it's a smaller pool, if you're drafting Matthews and Marner with your first two picks or something like that. So, and even with the Hurricanes, who I do believe are a lock to beat the Predators, you know, you don't want to get too crazy with stacking them with your first three round picks, because like you said, Robbie, your top team gets bounced and then you're going to lose your pool. You're not going to be able to catch up or maintain your lead, you know, if your top few players are all eliminated. Some pools allow waiver wire moves, some don't. Some, you know, you live and die with the guys you select. So, you know, even more so than season long fantasy, which is more of a patience game, like I would be less inclined to stack, whether it's from the North Division or the East or anybody else or Colorado or Vegas. You know, I'm probably not stacking too much. Maybe the stacks happen in the later rounds, where if you take Huberdeau early, you get Bennett to stack them, or, you know, something. If you get Barkov early, you get Duclair to stack them, something like that, you know.
No, I was thinking about this. I believe it was 2019, the last time we had, you know, the playoffs and things were normal. I think there were like five upsets in the first round based on, you know, seeds that year the Blues won the cup. I think there were a lot of upsets that year. Maybe it was the year before or something. And that's a year where you're right. You can get burned easily. You know, the Jets lost in the first round. People had them expecting to win the cup because the year before or whatever, they had made the conference final. So stacking's very risky. I agree. I usually just spread it out. I say, look, I'm going to have one, you know, Avalanche, one Wild, so I'll lose one, but I know I'll have one go farther. Cause to me, that's better than having, you know, five guys and they're out in the first round, especially if you know, you can't make any moves. I remember, Pete, I was in that pool with you last year. I think you get five or six moves. And, you know, after the first round, I had lost three guys from the same team. And I said, you know, do I really want to use all the moves now or wait a while? So it's a very interesting strategy, but I'm the one where I usually don't stack just to be on the safe side.
One of the stacks you normally see in postseason pools is guys from the Boston Bruins. You know, you can do the classic Bergeron Marchand. You can do Pasternak if he falls potentially. But either way, I think, you know, investing in these East teams is probably the hardest division in my mind to make sense out of. Right now, I have the Caps and the Pens facing each other in round two, but it could just as easily be, you know, Islanders in Bruins round two, and it wouldn't surprise anybody. You know, so I think that division, guys, that's probably my toughest one to put too much stock into these guys in the top 15. Like, I'd love to have Crosby on my playoff team for his track record. I'd love to have Ovi there as well. But when you get to that point of actually making the pick, it's like, I don't want to have to deal with navigating this Eastern division right off the top of my draft.
Right. Even Crosby, he's going up against Varlamov and Sorokin, who have combined for 10 shutouts this year. Is he even going to get you a point per game in the first round? I would say yes, probably. He'll do it on the power play at the very least and return value in the first round. But if the Islanders beat them in the playoffs like they did 2 years ago, and remember the Penguins, as much as they've won three cups in the Crosby Malkin era, and Malkin is back healthy, which is key, and Letang's still there as well. Like, they have not had playoff success the past 2 years. They've gotten bounced in the first round to the Islanders and then Montreal last year, which was a little staggering. So they have earned some confidence back to me from the regular season with how they've overcome everything. But am I picking against Barry Trotz and the Islanders in the first round? I'm not. I'm simply not. So I don't care how poorly they've played down the stretch of the season. I trust that system more. I think that their goalie tandem is better than Pittsburgh's. And I think that defensive structure wise, equal or better, forward depth, equal or better. So I'm going with the Islanders there, but it is very slim margin there for that series. I'm excited for it.
You mentioned the East division. The four teams that made the playoffs were separated by 6 points. So, I mean, this division, as you mentioned, was close all year. Any of these series can go either way anyway. So, yeah, if I can get a Crosby, a Marchand or someone, I'm definitely doing it. But, you know, I'm not going to stack those teams just because it's too risky in the East division to me. That's the most wide open one, as you mentioned.
Well, and with the thing to consider with the Islanders now, I mean, this will be the third season in a row where they've gone into playoffs with bad advanced stats, you know, a concern with the goal scoring, this and that, but it doesn't really matter for them. Like, they're a team that doesn't need those flashy numbers and those big offensive point guys to win around. So I think that's when it comes down to making a decision. Okay, I'd love to have Varlamov. I'd love to have, you know, the Islanders tandem. Maybe Sorokin gets a game if Farley falters in one of them. You know, I'd love to have that, and I'd feel secure about that. And then a forward like Barzal, for whatever reason, he always slips in every draft and every format. So I would like to have a player like that too, because if the Islanders do advance over the Penguins and you have a guy like Barzal, if you have a guy like Varlamov, you are in line to win your fantasy pool right then alone, because not a lot of people are going to be targeting that team. So I think that's a great strategy. When you look at the kind of boom or bust teams, though, I don't think the Islanders are in that conversation. They're a great team. I think we're looking at Nashville, Montreal, and maybe St. Louis, just because, you know, they looked really abysmal this year. If I'm looking at one team out of those three, I would say Nashville, probably. Davey, like you said earlier, is the one that would shock me the most if they won. But a guy like Tolvanen could still bring you value in a later round.
Yeah, he could, no doubt. And also, Montreal got some good injury news. I saw that Carey Price and Brendan Gallagher are both expected to be healthy for the playoffs. And that's got to put a little fear in Toronto. I know Toronto's the better team on paper, no question about it. But you don't want to be seeing either of those two guys. They give Montreal different layers that kind of cater to this time of year. The goalie who could stand on his head, the power forward that can grind it and knock your superstars off their feet a little bit. So in Gallagher. So, and they also have another sleeper called Caulfield. The goalie tandem, as much as you could view them as one of the worst on paper based on the regular season and just stacking up to all the other teams, they're probably near the bottom with like St. Louis, but could they spring the upset or at least make it a close series? I think they could make it a close series and take Toronto to maybe 6 games, just put a little scare in them, make them sweat a little bit. So the good injury news, though, from a competitive standpoint and a playoff theater standpoint, I saw the Habs and the Leafs haven't played in the playoffs since what, 1979.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
How's that possible? I can't believe that. They play in the same division normally. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was looking that up too. And then I said, you know, well, the team, they weren't really good at the same times for the most part. So, but you know, with Toronto, Freddie Anderson's healthy now. What are they going to do with him? They're going to just throw him in game one, or Jack Campbell, who's 17-2-2. So if this is a situation where, you know, you can get the tandem goalies, obviously you would do it, but otherwise, I mean, I wouldn't really draft just one of them, because Anderson's, first of all, we've got the injury, and Campbell's played so well that, you know, I don't know what's going to happen there. To me, that's a pretty dicey one.
Well, I'm going to go with the Montreal Canadiens, I think, in that series. The predominant reason for that is simply the price is going to be too good to pass up on. You already know that before seeing it. It's just going to be too good not to put anything on that. So I will be picking Montreal in the series. I think Toronto's still a decent bet for a guy like, you know, Matthews, obviously Marner, okay, but I'm looking at the guys below that, like William Nylander, anybody on the second line, Hyman, if he's healthy, I think is another good bet later in a fantasy playoff pool. But I just can't look against this Montreal team with a healthy Carey Price potentially. I mean, he can steal a round. Doesn't matter who the opponent is. But the thing I like about Montreal that a lot of people are forgetting, you know, the first 20 games of the season or so, this team was dynamite. Like, everybody was healthy. The system was working. Their shot attempt numbers are fantastic. They like to drive possession. It's just a matter of if they can get quality scoring chances. And I think the one team where they'll be able to do that against is actually Toronto. I don't think their defense is good enough yet. I think this concern now with Freddie Anderson being healthy, and the reason why I say it's a concern, is because it throws a wrench in the gears. I mean, this was Jack Campbell's team for the past month and a half, and now you have a guy that commands the room. Everybody on the team loves him, and Freddie Anderson. I can't imagine, you know, that's going to go over too well if he's sitting more than two games in that series.
Well, you mentioned the possession in Montreal's favor. For sure it is. They have the second best shot attempts percentage in the NHL this regular season. Even when things have gone wrong and they had the injury problems and the losing skid, they're second, 54.4%, behind only Colorado, rounding out the top five, Boston, Carolina, and the Florida Panthers. So those are some teams that I think that you can trust this time of year based on that key metric. You've seen so many championship caliber teams thrive based on their success in that category in past regular seasons, even if it was mixed results in the regular season. That's a big metric, no doubt, for the playoffs, and definitely suggests that Montreal could maybe do something special here. If things are getting healthy at the right time, you know, they're as deep as any team out there, and the style they play caters to the playoffs. We've been saying it all year that they'd be dangerous, whether they were the second seed or the fourth seed. And that other Canadian series is going to be really interesting too. I feel like nobody's picking the Winnipeg Jets. I feel like nobody's like investing in their top forwards in fantasy pool drafts. Even Hellebuck, I don't think is on anybody's radar right now. Do you think people are overlooking the Winnipeg Jets now that that matchup is set between Winnipeg and Edmonton?
I mean, I definitely think people are, just because, hey, they're playing Connor McDavid. They're playing the Oilers. You know, we've seen how well the Oilers have done against the Jets. But I agree with you, Winnipeg. I think for them, it's actually probably better, because in the years past when they were favored, you know, they lost in the first, the Golden Knights beat them in the Western Conference Final. The Blues beat them in the first round, but hey, they've lost. I think before last night, I think they had lost 9 of 10. They're basically, you know, limping their way into the playoffs, even though they've had a spot clinched for a while, basically. But I think this is good for Winnipeg. They're not favored. People probably won't be expecting them to do things. You mentioned Hellebuck's one of the best goalies in the league. Their forwards, I mean, you know, how high up you think Mark Scheifele is going to go in your pool? I mean, you could probably snag him in maybe, like, I don't know, third round or four. I don't know how low, but you're right. People are just not, for some reason, just discounting the Jets because of who they're playing. But I wouldn't be surprised if they win the series.
The only reason why I would make an argument for them to pull what I would call an upset here is because they stink at home, but they're great on the road. 17-10-1. That's fantastic. Certainly they could give Edmonton a fit, you know, playing away from, you know, home ice. But the thing with the Jets is that I just can't buy into this year is the 7-2-0 the Oilers went against them in the regular season. McDavid had 22 points in that series. Didn't matter if Hellebuck was in net or not. I mean, he's going to rip it up. I just can't go with Winnipeg this year. I like what I saw, you know, that they were able to kind of, you know, level off the playing field there. They looked like they were going to collapse towards the end, but I'm not, it's not enough for me to buy into this team, maybe with a healthy Nick Ehlers, but still, you know, in the season series, he had 8 points against the Edmonton Oilers. That led the Jets. No one else really stepped up against the Oilers. That's my biggest concern. And I just can't bet against McDavid and Draisaitl, not after what we saw McDavid do during the regular season. And even last year with their disappointment against Chicago, McDavid still had 9 points in that series, if you can even call it that. So I'm going to go back to the Oilers. You know, Mike Smith is another one, PD, I think that, you know, deserves some consideration in later rounds. Again, it's not going to be, you know, wow you with the numbers, but I think he's going to get some wins, and I think they'll be able to get past the Jets.
Yeah, he certainly wowed us in the regular season with his numbers, but I just keep thinking back to, it's just with my concern about Edmonton, you know, if they're playing their top two guys on one line, what's their forward depth going to look like? Is RNH fully healthy? You know, is the defense strong enough? It's valid questions. I'm still picking Edmonton in the series just because I do not like what I've seen at all from Winnipeg. Especially after the Dubois trade, like you're talking about too many different factors that are going to have to play. Hellebuck, is he going to stand on his head? Sure, he's capable of it, but we haven't seen it lately. Ehlers, is he going to be healthy? That's a great point you brought up, Robbie. He's one of the best even strength producers in the league, and Scheifele actually is as well, and he's healthy at least. He's tied for fifth in even strength points in the entire league this season, so that's one thing to look at. They do have, and he has the playoff track record, right? That 1 year he scored like 14 goals in a single postseason to lead the league or something like that. So, you know, don't sleep on Scheifele if you can get him later, but I would probably not take Scheifele until maybe the 25-30 range overall, which someone else might go out there and take Mark Scheifele earlier in that. And I can sleep well at night giving that player to somebody else.
So there's two guys that I was looking at on the list that I would probably draft higher. One is Mark Stone. I think you guys had him at like 24, 25. I mean, the guy just does everything for them. And if Vegas is going to, you know, get out of this final four here, I would probably take him. To me, I'd probably take him above the Barkov, the Huberdeau, just because I think they have a better shot. And then the other one is, I know the Wild, we're not sure about them, but I think Kirill Kaprizov deserves some love. I would take him just for the wow factor, to have someone to say, I've seen what this guy does in the regular season, you know, playing what, Colorado, I guess, probably in the second round or first round. So, you know, I'm not going to be an easy matchup, but you know, if I can get that guy in like this third, fourth round or something, sure, I would do it.
And last thing to consider here about the Jets quickly is just that they might not start the playoffs until next Wednesday or Thursday, probably obviously on the road. So it's going to give Ehlers a little bit of extra time to get back in the lineup. Like, if that makes you feel better about a team that, you know, ended the season 1-9-0, then that's great. I don't think it's enough for them, but Pete, you mentioned it. I mean, you can't trust the Oilers either. It's just like the Leafs. You can't just put all your stock into the Oilers at any given moment, let alone the postseason. And just because McDavid had such a great regular season, the playoffs are a different animal. We see it every year. Davey brought up a great point earlier about how many upsets there were. Like, you can't just go here and tick off all the favorites. I think that's why, even looking at a team like Minnesota, yeah, their possession metrics stink, but Kirill Kaprizov can score off the rush. Their defense is so strong where they can shut it down. Cam Talbot now should be a household name for top 10 goalies in the NHL. And if they can shut it down, like a line like McKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog, Kirill's going to score off the rush the other way, and he's going to keep them in that series. And we know every time Minnesota and Colorado meet in the postseason, it's always tight. It's always close.
I think I'm a little reluctant to take Vegas forwards or any of their skaters. I like the goalie tandem on paper better than anybody else's, but Pacioretty's a little banged up right now. He hasn't been playing lately. Stone obviously is tied to Pacioretty. I think last postseason was, you know, in the vicinity of a point per game, but didn't really wow you in terms of his production, even though Vegas went deep in the playoffs. And I just think back to like that series against Vancouver where they couldn't score. Series against Dallas where they couldn't score. They were having 40 shots a game. Do they have the guys that can help them break through offensively this year compared to last year? It's fairly the same group in Vegas. So they're just hoping that it works out this time. But I'm a little worried. I mean, if Vegas plays Minnesota, if Colorado wins the division, And they could still win the President's Trophy, by the way. Check back in with us for the Thursday episode with Mike Leboff, and we'll get you all these final layers of the postseason and, you know, contingencies and things like that. But actually, I like the way that Minnesota has played Vegas this season series. I believe they're 4-3-1. They've had a couple of comeback wins. They've kind of knocked Vegas out of its comfort zone in some of those games. And I feel like if they play Vegas, Kaprizov maybe would jump like five spots in our rankings or something like that. I think he stands to gain some value from a matchup like that compared to Colorado.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the matchups too. I mean, Minnesota, they've played Vegas very well too, and we know how good the Wild are at home. So I'm definitely not discounting them no matter who they play. But, you know, to me, I know we've talked about how the East is, you know, pretty difficult and hard to choose, but so is this the West division. I mean, these teams, the way they've played, look at what happened to the Wild last season. You know, they had the coaching change, everything that went on. The goalies were terrible. Bill Guerin just deserves all the credit for what he's done. It's not just Kaprizov and some of the young guys, but I mean, he brought in Cam Talbot. I don't know about you guys. I didn't think Cam Talbot was the answer at all. I figured Kakinen was going to be who they leaned on. And, you know, earlier they did and they split, but the team is just, they're one of the best in the league. Defensively, they're playing well. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they got out of this group. So it's, to me, that the West is kind of hard too, but I actually think that Vegas or Minnesota, to me, I don't think the Avalanche are getting out of that group. That's just me.
Well, Petey had Talbot. He liked Talbot. So I'll give my tip of the cap there. He was on Talbot preseason debut. So that was a great call on that. And secondly, though, I think this division, we can't overlook St. Louis just with their history now in the postseason. They're always a tough team to play. I mean, talk about the most disappointing team in the regular season. But when you look at, you know, playoff track record, you have to say, okay, St. Louis can play with just about anybody, whether it's Vegas, whether it's Colorado. I mean, I would still take Vegas in that series. I would still take Colorado, but if you're in a later round and a guy like Tarasenko, who's day to day right now, he's due for an eruption in the playoffs. His shooting percentage in the regular season was low. He has 4 goals, you know, in his 24 games, shooting 6.2%. So that's going to go up in the postseason. You're going to have, you know, some goals from Tarasenko come in, and then Ryan O'Reilly's another one that's just been so safe for you that you can't go wrong. So I would like to target Ryan O'Reilly, you know, maybe round 5, 6, if you can get him in that position, because if they do go, you know, the distance again, you are going to reap the rewards from those picks right there.
Oh yeah. If St. Louis goes the distance and you have a few of those players in the mix, I mean, you probably win the pool. I don't know if I've completely bought into St. Louis, but I've heard a lot of people saying that's the 4 seed. You know, I don't want to play tough matchup for Vegas, tough matchup for Colorado. I wanted to go back to Vegas real quick. One player who's on your rankings, and he's, I think, in the 90s, who I think is going to have a huge playoff run on that third line potentially, is Alex Tuch. I think Alex Tuch is a player. And now listen, I zero in on these guys. I give you one or two players and I'll root for them the entire playoffs. Alex Tuch this year is a player I think can have a nice little run in the playoffs. He can kind of fly under the radar on that third line. And he had a nice little playoff run last year with Vegas, and every time I turn on a game and watch Vegas, he's in the mix somehow. So I love Alex Tuch at I think you guys have him ranked in the 90s or so, which you know what, I think he outperforms that ranking this year.
I could see it for sure. I believe he led them in goals last postseason, so he could do some serious damage. And of course, this time of year, you see it on the good teams, the third liners return value. Like if Colorado goes deep, like Jonas Donskoy will return value, and Tuch will for Vegas, and JG Pageau will for the Islanders if they come out of the East Division. So that's a strategy for the tried and true playoff teams, you know, to even tap into their third liners. Would you rather have a first liner from Montreal, you know, that's going to be ousted after the first round, or first liner for Nashville in the 90s, or would you rather have a third or second liner for one of the better teams out there? You could also get like Jordan Staal late in the draft, or Niederreiter from Carolina, who we expect to go far, or Killorn or Gord from Tampa Bay. I mean, it's a good strategy, and you're on it, Bobby, for sure.
Now, before we wrap up here, I do want to throw out some names towards the end of the list that might have higher upside than people expect. I wanted to start with Alex Newhook for the Colorado Avalanche. This is a player that just whatever it is, he has it. Like, he just has that energy. He has that excitement. 3 assists so far in his first 4 games. That'll do. And a guy you have to consider, Nazem Kadri's not been very good for the past month and a half in fantasy. If you had him in regular season, you know that he's not been great. So I like to give a nod here to Alex Newhook. I think that's a player that Coach Bednar is going to give a bigger role to, Bobby, and he might start to make a household name for himself over a guy like Tyson Jost, even over a guy like Kadri, if he can get his ice time above 15 minutes.
I am too. I like Colorado's cup chances more. And for someone like me and Robbie that have been beating the drum on them from the beginning of the season, but also disappointed in their secondary scoring at points with the Burakovsky inconsistencies and the Kadri inconsistencies. Remember, Kadri last year through 2 rounds was as good as anybody in the league on the first power play in his goal scoring. Burakovsky was about a point per game. That has been missing, the consistency during this regular season, but now they've actually slotted in Newhook at center on the second line, playing Kadri at one wing and Berkey on the other. It's actually a really good wrinkle and something that I think boosts their chances of winning the whole thing, because that was the one weakness. Other than speculating, this guy might get injured, this guy might, you know, be banged up that we don't know about. But like, other than that, the secondary scoring is the biggest concern. And I think Newhook gives them a wrinkle that they can turn to and be confident in. This guy at Boston College the past 2 years, is only 2 seasons in college, better than a point per game both seasons. So yeah, it's a great development for Colorado's cup chances.
There's two guys that I was looking at here. One is not as low, but Taylor Hall is low just because he's on Boston and they have guys ahead of him. But, you know, that's a pick that I say, he's getting the confidence now. He scored the overtime winner. He's obviously fit a lot better in Boston. And the other guy to me would be, if you need some defenseman, Neil Pionk. I mean, he's done so well in the regular season, just again, because of the Winnipeg, people are probably discounting him, but I mean, I think he's what, 87 or something. You can get that guy really late to shore up your back end. That's fine for me. If I can't get, you know, a top tier defenseman, if I want to focus on forwards or goalies early, I mean, that guy, to have him where he is, I would take that.
I like that pick a lot, Davey. I would look at a guy like Pietrangelo if you could get him a little bit later too. It's actually a benefit that he's overshadowed now by the emergence of Shea Theodore. Pietrangelo's had a great finish. His last 4 games, he looks like the player he was with St. Louis. And in the postseason, like, that's a guy that brings the edge. That's why I have no concerns about Vegas this year, is because of a guy like Pietrangelo, where, you know, St. Louis, yes, they have Torrey Krug and that power play could be lethal in the postseason, but I don't think he makes a difference, you know, for that team like Pietrangelo will for Vegas now. So I would look at a player like that too. And I do want to react to Taylor Hall. You know, I saw people being critical of Boston and having such an easy cakewalk schedule, you know, the past whatever 15 games, but that's a good opportunity for Hall to get going, for the confidence to get back from a team like Buffalo, which there was zero all season long, unless your name was Sam Reinhart. So I like that wrinkle for Hall. I think you're going to see him go around 50, 55 in pools just because he still has that name brand. Now he has the Bruins crest on his sweater. So I like that pick, Davey, but I have to say, I don't know if I'm going to be the one making it just because of his track record with these teams in the postseason. They always seem to fizzle out in round one. Obviously, Boston's the best team he's played on to date. I just have a little bit, you know, of a harder time seeing him, you know, hoisting a Stanley Cup trophy for that reason.
And speaking of Hall, I mean, playoff David Krejci, especially with an improved line mate, is another guy that could be a bargain for you in the mid to late rounds. One commenter when we posted our rankings was getting on us saying, you know, where's Krejci in the whatever top 20? It's like, we're not putting him that high. He's in a contract year. He's an older player, but could he be a difference maker if Boston sneaks through that tough bracket and gets to the final four? Of course he can. He's done it many times before in the postseason. A couple other guys to mention. I did want to mention, if you're in a league with individual goalies, I do think that Alex Nedeljkovic is going to get some good work this postseason. Mrazek has only played like 9 or 10 games the whole season. Of course, he's been one of the most efficient goalies in the land. Nobody can argue against that. But is Nedeljkovic going to get similar, maybe a little fewer starts than Mrazek, and has the potential to get even more if Mrazek goes down? Absolutely. And I think Nedeljkovic quietly will probably get into that top three of the Calder mix. You know, he didn't play a ton of games, but I think he may have played enough to get in there with Kaprizov and Robertson. So he's had a really impressive season. Mrazek and Reimer, contract years. So keeper leagues all over Nedeljkovic, of course, and everybody was rostering him down the stretch, but he may get overlooked a little bit for one of the best teams out there in Carolina for the fantasy pools.
For me in late rounds, the goalie that I'm looking at is UC Soros. I know they're going against Nedeljkovic and Mrazek, but I just think that his play down the stretch, his full season stat line too, 927 save percentage on a team with zero goal support and three shutouts, like that'll do for me in a playoff pool. I'll take my chances on a guy like him or Price late, whichever one I'm going to be choosing between the two. I'd probably give the edge to Price from his history, but I'd be happy to land Soros, you know, because I think Nashville is the one team that no one talked about him during the regular season. The price again for the series is going to be too hard to pass up for Nashville. I mean, you might as well throw something on it. Okay. And then you'll be eaten free for the next few weeks if they do pull the upset. And then Carolina, again, I don't have concerns about this team, but it goes back to Davey, your logic about there's always upsets. We always get so high on certain teams and then they kind of do nothing in the playoffs. I'm worried that could be Carolina this year just because they took the one seed in the division. They looked great all year long. No real adversity other than Turbo being a little bit banged up and Mrazek going down, but it was a good problem to have because now we saw Ned can play. Reimer fared all right in his opportunity. So I like a little sneaky appeal in Nashville here. Am I going to select three offensive players for them? No, but I'd like to get UC Soros or Roman Josi if they do fall in drafts.
Soros is the person that can spring the upset for Nashville. And we're going to have Michael Leboff on Action Sports Network. I don't know what the price is for Nashville, but I know it's going to keep climbing and climbing and climbing because everyone's going to take Carolina. And Soros, if he performs the way he's been performing, he could steal a few games and put Carolina in a dicey situation. So Soros is key. I mean, if he plays out of his mind, steal some games. Again, the price is going to keep climbing. It might be worth putting something on Nashville. And I would just do that because of Soros, because they have that goaltender that can steal some games. We'll see what Leboff says about it. Something tells me he's going to like Nashville as well. And Soros, he was on Soros earlier in the season. Something tells me he's going to like Nashville in that series as well.
And I'm sure that Mike's going to like Minnesota as well, just with how the books have been so heavy on Vegas and Colorado all year. We'll find that out from him tomorrow. But for playoff pools, if you're in the later rounds and you see a Talbot available, if you see a Zuccarello available, who's been like attached at the hip most of the season with Kaprizov on the opposite wing, also Jared Spurgeon, who mans their power play one, they're not guys that you should overlook. I mean, don't prioritize these guys too much because it's an uphill battle to win that first round. But boy, if they do, they're going to return some serious value for them. So don't sleep on those wild guys.
Yeah, the last guy I'm going to mention is Jeff Carter, just because he's been on a tear lately. That was a great fit trade the Penguins made for him. We know he's a past champion. You know, I know we mentioned that the East is tough, but you can get a guy like Carter with your last pick. That is totally worth it just because of how well he's done, his history in the playoffs, and the fact that, hey, it's Pittsburgh. We know what they've done, what they're capable of. So the fact that Jeff Carter is probably one of the, you know, a very low pick, I'm penciling him in if he's available late.
I would almost put him in the X factor conversation for Pittsburgh too, just because he has the playoff pedigree, because he has the veteran leadership, and because, you know, Malkin is prone, you know, to droughts. You know, he's a tremendous player, but he can, you know, leave some goose eggs occasionally. So I love the Jeff Carter late round play from David. I also look at, you know, the other team in the division that faced a lot of adversities, the Washington Capitals. A guy like Anthony Mantha's cooled off a little bit, you know, after his hot start with this new team. I'd look at him to maybe make a difference too, either him or TJ Oshie. Oshie's the safer pick, but I like Mantha's upside a lot if he slips. So those are guys that I like to kind of round out my lineup. I always want the guys that, you know, the trade deadline acquisitions always bring a little bit more of a sneakier edge to in these pools.
Right. And we talked a little bit about injuries earlier. You got to watch out for some guys like we mentioned, Hyman. It sounds like he might be good to go for the playoffs. The Montreal guys, one other guy to keep on your radar, Aaron Ekblad. Probably not going to be back in the first round, but we will see. He last played March 28th. It was a 12-week timetable. So that probably lines up with the second round. But one guy that could benefit from Ekblad's return is Mackenzie Weegar, who actually kept it up without Ekblad and led all defensemen in the NHL in even strength points this season. That's a shout out to the guy Boomer Gordon from SiriusXM that I've been going on with this season. And, you know, he brought that stat to my attention. Wasn't aware that he was leading all defensemen. So that was a really good nugget that people can invest in this player, saying he wasn't just a product of Ekblad. And if the Panthers go two or three rounds and are the surprise team of the playoffs, like maybe they're capable of being, Weegar is worth tapping into in mid to late rounds with or without Ekblad, because he's proven himself.
Goalie Master, what do you think of the Panthers goalie situation, you know, between Bob, between Drieger, who came back and played well, and now the rookie Spencer Knight, who looks like he could be a full-time starter as of today in this league?
Yeah, I'm confused on Quenneville because, you know, he said something that Knight probably wasn't going to be there in the playoffs for them to start. But to me, I think they're going to go with Bobrovsky because he's been there before. I know he didn't have the playoff numbers, the success, but you know, the last time he was in the playoffs, he had that upset of Tampa, the shocking, you know, the number one seed. He played very well. So even though that was two seasons ago, I think he's got confidence now in a, you know, a seven game series of playoffs. He's got a great team in front of him. So to me, I think Bobrovsky's going to be the starter, but they know, hey, if, you know, if they lose game one or he's, you know, he plays poorly, Drieger's been pretty unbelievable too. So I think it's going to be between those two. I don't think Knight is really going to get a chance in the playoffs. He will in the future for sure, but I would go with Bobrovsky if I were the Panthers.
I would start Drieger in game one. I mean, what more does this guy have to prove that he's not only better than Bobrovsky, but, you know, that he deserves something like this? I think, you know, you look at his career record, 21-9-4, 38 games. He has a 9-29, and he got his fourth shutout of his career the other day against Tampa Bay. So what better momentum boost? And I actually like Bobrovsky more as the bounce back guy, you know, maybe with a little bit more motivation, right? They have to keep tabs on Bobrovsky's motivation and make sure it's as high as it could be. It could be better for Bobrovsky if they have to turn to him mid-series as opposed to, you know, starting him and having him falter and then playing from behind the whole series, which could very well happen.
Yeah, I think Drieger probably has the edge here. I mean, I know, Dave, you're right. He was great in the postseason in 2018-19, but two of those games against Tampa in the first round, I mean, he won a game with an 8.97 save percentage to kick the thing off, and then he closed it out with a 9.09 save percentage to win the series. I just don't think you can keep that up. It's not sustainable. And then you saw him falter his last two games against the Boston Bruins that year too. So I just don't trust Bob anymore, but I think it's, if I had to pick who Q's going to start, it's probably going to be Bob because of the contract and because he has that history. But I'm with Petey. I think Drieger is the more safe option here. And I think it's a good opportunity for Florida to kind of reassess the room and say, look, we can kind of win with any one of these guys because our team is so good now. I do think Ekblad, though, is going to be the missing ingredient. If he does not play, that's going to be a big burden to overcome for them. I don't think they'll be able to beat Tampa if he's not at least rumored to be coming back for a potential game 6 or 7. You know, that would swing it for me. That would be, I would hedge the bet there and go in on the Panthers to overcome that. But without that storyline, I just can't get too high on the team. Ekblad was such a difference maker for them.
Well, Davey, thanks so much for coming on, man. Great to have you on and talk playoff pools. Follow him at David Satriano on Twitter. He's the fantasy hockey mastermind, did better than anybody else that's come on the show in his leagues this year. So thanks for joining us, man. And everybody should hit Davey up for his playoff pool questions because he's just as good when the stakes are higher this time of year.
I have to say, I think you guys, it's great the way you interact with fans. I saw some fans were actually tweeting and sending you guys messages of their trophies, which I thought was really cool to see. Unfortunately, I didn't get any trophies. I just have, you know, some bragging rights, but, and just to have people, you know, message me and say, thanks, I picked up this goalie that you recommended and I won. It's like, no, it's nice. You guys get those messages all the time. Nice for the goalie master to hear, get some love from the fans. But yeah, this is looking forward to the playoffs here. You know, before the season, I actually realized I was like looking for my prediction for the playoffs. I actually checked my Twitter drafts. I had never sent it, but I had Bruins over Golden Knights.
Wow.
So actually my division winners, though, I think I had the Blues, the Flames, wasn't that good. But hey, I said Bruins, Golden Knights, it could happen. So we'll see. Not as good as, Stars, Tampa Bay last year, but Goalie Master's got to lose some too, nice, I guess, Davey. Every now and then.
Davey, I'd feel all right about that, Davey, to be honest.
Yeah, why are you so down on that pick? I mean, you're already, the playoffs haven't even started. You're backing off your picks already. I mean, geez, you just won 4 trophies in fantasy and you make this pick. I mean, that's a pretty good pick, Davey. So have some confidence.
Boston, I like Boston. I think this could be their year, but we have to see. So.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Petey, before you put a bow on it, and all the folks, the listeners, audience, we always appreciate everything, listening, thanking, whatever. Tell the folks where they can get involved in the playoff pool, because we have a playoff pool going on, right? Fantasy on Ice, Petey. So pop that.
Yeah, for sure. NHL Bracket Challenge. You could look at the featured leagues and you can find the Fantasy on Ice podcast. So we'll have some of our guests in there. Me, Davey, and Robbie will all be in there. Hopefully we can get Bobby in there too and get him to sign up for an account and fill out his bracket once the final matchup is determined for Colorado and Vegas. But yeah, definitely join that pool and see where you stack up against us. Also a good site for playoff pools for fantasy is Office Pools. We did one last year. We enjoyed it. We'll definitely be back again, and we'll be tracking that over the course of the postseason. So we'll be back again with you on Thursday with Michael Leboff, like you said. So for Robbie and Bobby and Davey, this is Pete saying so long. Thanks for listening. NHL Fantasy on Ice.